भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading in first canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 1, text 22. Tvam naksandarshito dhatra dushtaram nishtitirkshatam kalim satvaharam pumsham Karnadhara Ivarnavam Tvam Naksandarshito Dhatra Dushtaram Nishtitirshatam Kalim Satvaharam Pumsham Karnadhara Ivarnavam
Your goodness.
Naha.
Naha
unto us,
Sandarshitaha,
meeting,
Dhatra,
by providence,
Dushtaram,
insurmountable,
Nistitirkshatam,
for those desiring to cross over,
Kalim,
the age of Kali, Satvaharam,
that which deteriorates the good
qualities.
Pumsham,
of a man.
Karnadharaha,
captain.
Eva,
as.
Arnavam,
the ocean.
Translation purport
by Srila Prabhupada.
We think
that we have met
your goodness by
the will of providence,
just so that we
may accept you as
captain of the ship
for those who
desire to cross
the difficult ocean of
Kali,
which deteriorates
all the good
qualities of a human
being.
The age of
Kali is very dangerous
for the human being.
Human life
is simply meant
for self-realization,
but due to
this dangerous age,
men have completely
forgotten the aim of
life.
In this age,
the lifespan will
gradually decrease.
People will
gradually lose their memory,
finer sentiments,
strength,
and better qualities.
A list of the
anomalies for this age
is given in the 12th
canto of this work.
And so
this age is very
difficult for those who
want to utilize
this life
for self-realization.
The people are
so busy with sense
gratification that they
completely forget
about
self-realization.
Out of
madness, they
frankly say that there is no
need for self-realization because they do not realize that this brief life is but a moment on our great journey towards self-realization. The whole system of education is geared to sense gratification, and if a learned man thinks it over, he sees that the children of this age are being intentionally sent to the slaughterhouses of so-called education. Learned men, therefore, must be cautious of this age, and if they all want to cross over the dangerous ocean of Kali, they must follow the footsteps of the sages of Naimisharanya and accept Sri Suta Goswami or his bona fide representative as a captain of the ship. The ship is a message of Lord Sri Krishna in the shape of Bhagavad Gita or the Srimad Bhagavatam. One of Prabhupada's wonderful purports. So we've been kind of setting the scene for this entrance of Kali Yuga. Not a very pretty scene. Like it says in the last canto that we just finished reading, it tells of the progress of Kali Yuga, how bad it gets. And I've been in this material world about 70 years, and I've seen this come true. I've seen some of these qualities actually start deteriorating, and I've seen things that I never thought I would see before in sinful life. And this is just in first gear, and it's frightening. It's actually a very frightening age. And the sages here are trying to explain that if we want to cross the ocean of this frightening age, then we must hear from the proper source. We must hear this knowledge from the bona fide spiritual master. But unfortunately, most everyone is entrapped by Kali's trick and treats. It's getting close to Halloween. So there's lots of tricks Kali has, but he only says you're going to get a treat, but he never really gives you one. And it's not the kind you want. So people are really kind of bewildered. They're unknowing what's going on. They just assume this is the way it is. This is the way it always will be. And I don't need to delve into this self-realization type thing, that whatever's going to happen, it'll be okay. And they are actually very experts at putting Band-Aids on the situation. They get some owies, and they get some banging around and some trip and fall, and things happen that they don't like, and they just kind of put a Band-Aid on it and keep going. Say, it'll be all right, I feel better, it makes me feel better. And they just pour a little bit more entertainment into their schedule, and they make it through this lifetime somehow or other into another lifetime, further, deeper into Kali Yuga. And the owies are only going to get more excruciating to bear. So it's really important that we hear. There was one song that I think that was Mangalananda made a long time ago, in the 70s, way back then. And one of the lines was, we don't know where we're going, but we're told we should hurry. So we see that people are educated. Yeah, you got to go here, you got to get this, you got to do that. What for? Well, I don't know, but you got to hurry up and get it, right? You can't look 10 years old, you got to look 16 years old. You got to hurry up and grow up. There's so many things. You have to get that, what is it called, G thing. You got to get that and all this paraphernalia. You got to hurry up and get that before, you know, there's a 10G in there and we're all fried to death. So this is part of the education system that is going on out there. And it is frightening. And we see that the human qualities are the cost, these finer sentiments that they talk about. So in the education system, they're told they've got to work. They got to hurry up and get a good job. They got to get a position, hook or crook. You know, heck with your neighbor, heck with anybody else. You have to get a good position and get enough money so that you can have lots of Band-Aids. You can really try to enjoy, pretend like you're enjoying. You got to satisfy your senses at any cost. So they're forced to take subjects that they don't like to take. I had to take so many subjects I couldn't stand. And I never used one drop of it in my life, you know. And And then they're forced into trades that aren't befitting for their aptitude. And they do these occupations for 30, 40, 50 years. They're forced to do these things every single day out there. I feel sorry for them, you know. It's not a pleasant lifetime. It really is not. And the repercussions of that are what? That there's more anxiety. And there's more diseases. And then they then the human qualities, even just the brain starts fizzling because of so much sense gratification. It's really unfortunate. And on top of all that is all the cheating that's going on. After you get 65, you're a sitting duck. Because somehow or other, everybody out there knows that you're older than 65 and that you're stupid. And that they can call you on the phone and they can convince you to do the wildest things. I'm afraid to pick up the phone every single day. I know it just about what time certain recordings will come on, 12 and at 6, things, because they know that you're home because you're retired. And it's amazing how they're trying to cheat you. You know, I know that you have, you know, a backache and a knee ache, and I know your mother had cancer. That was yesterday's. I know that you have cancer in your family, and you're going to need this. I just put it down. But and then the ones about the computer. You have trouble with your computer, I know. I know you don't know much about computers, but you let me into your computer, and I will fix that. First, I'll break it, and then I'll fix it, right? I mean, the scams that go on, we're being cheated. I mean, it's no fun, you know? You're scared to pick up the phone. You're scared to talk to somebody, go in the store because you're afraid they're going to cheat you. So this is the culture that we're educating people in, and those qualities are getting less, and our even our brain, like I said, is getting less, and then we become, you know, with all these diseases, that when you're old, that you're kids are embarrassed because you can't do anything, you're useless, and you can't remember anything, so they just put you away in a home, and that's frightening to think that I'm not even going to be with my kids or anything. I'm going to be put somewhere in some, you know, rest home, and no one's ever going to come see me, and then I'll just die. So this is other aspects that are true, and they are going on. I remember when I was in a family with a surgeon for a doctor, for a father, and my mother forced me to volunteer. She forced me to volunteer and be a candy striper in the hospital and do service. And my first service was to feed old people. Oh my gosh. It was something I'll never forget. And then I swore from that day on, I never did that service again. I swore from that day on, I'm never going to get old. It's not for me. I'm just not going to go there. I'm not going to be like that. I'm not going to get old. That's for other people, but not me. That's that most wonderful thing that we hear about. That I'm not going to die. I'm not going to get old. I'm not going to get disease. No way. Invalidity is not for me. Anybody else. But this is the mentality that people have, and they think that I'll be exempt from Kali Yuga. Devotees also think that it's not going to happen to me, but I think someone in my class mentioned that devotees are going to be hunted down at the end of Kali. You know? But the real remedies are that we need a shelter. Here's describing the ship. On stormy seas, you need a really good ship. And so we have this Bhagavatam and this Bhagavad Gita and all this knowledge given by very qualified sages here in this forest of Naimisharanya and carried throughout the ages through even more qualified people like Srila Prabhupada. And this is going to saturate our mentality with transcendental knowledge so that we can see it happening, but we can be aloof, we can be separate from it. And we can know that separation comes when we connect to the Supreme Self. So self-realization is a very important thing. And right off the bat, here the sages of Naimisharanya say that you must, and Prabhupada's emphasizing that You must get a bona fide spiritual master who's full of knowledge that can help you cross over. It's not easy to navigate a ship across an ocean, a perilous ocean with an ocean full of poison. You need someone very qualified. So there's a nice prayer here that one should say every day. O mind, just worship the lotus feet of the bona fide spiritual master. Without receiving the mercy of the pure devotee, one will not have the potency to execute regulative spiritual practices. Therefore, O my dear mind, I urge you to worship him. Please worship him at every moment. So it's not on our own strength that we can surrender. We have to have that help from the spiritual master. So many of our youth say that, well, I'm afraid I can't meet those vows, so I don't want to get a spiritual master. But if you get the spiritual master, then he gives you the strength to follow those vows. So it's a win-win situation. You can't do it without the spiritual master. If you think you can, good luck. But according to this, the strength to execute any of the devotional services properly, you must have the blessings of the spiritual master. So we should make sure that the upcoming youth hear this and practice this, because this will also be the inspiration for all the other generations coming up in this ISKCON movement. So this instruction is one of the first that we hear, and it's the most important. Many of the generations upcoming out there in the material world are very concerned about this Kali Yuga. There's like one Swedish or Norwegian girl that's all uptight about this climate change, and she's pointing the finger and chastising our president and doing all kinds of things, and there's protests going on about the climate change, and many of them are saying, I take the vow, Bhishma, I take the vow of not having any children. That's pretty heavy for a young teenager to say that I'm not going to have any children because the population is too many. The planet's going to hell for this. So that's going on because there is concern of this upcoming age that's going to be getting worse. There was even one woman in a public forum just last week that said, this should ring a bell in everyone's mind, that to control the population, we should just eat our children. She said this. It was on TV or whatever, in the news. So this is what we hear, right? From the Bhagavatam, we just heard it. And so that's very frightening. The people are actually thinking that this might come to be. So, and then there's, of course, we have all this greatest communication devices that are, unheard of, all these different, things that you can come so in tune with everybody. But we see that impersonalism is on the rise, right? You can communicate with anyone, anywhere in the world, but people are so impersonal. And then there'll be robots, people become lazy, and then there'll be more diseases. And, there's no boundary to it. But the real answer is not more technological devices, but it's really a change of consciousness. And that's where hearing from the sages is important, hearing from the guru, because they have the solutions. We hear that that to change your consciousness, you have to have that inspiration to go inside and to find your real self. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. So therefore, Prabhupada actually mentioned that we should create our own society, not just ISKCON, but a society we should pull out of this technological society and have a more simple society where especially women and children can be raised with getting all the greatest qualities and the preachers going out there and bringing people to a different, alternative society. So when it will happen, I don't know, but that was the spiritual master's instruction. So we should, hopefully someone will take it to heart. Because we're entrapped like the rest. We have a lot of excuses for not doing this Varanashram. A very good example is what happened last weekend. Everybody on the committee for the festival got out their phones. And everyone looked at their phones. It's going to tornadoes. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. It's going to be horrible weather. The phones said, don't have it. And then we had one soul, Pani Bhushan, who happened to come by and said, be bold, be daring like Prabhupada. But we have faith in our phones. So, therefore, we lost a great opportunity to spread Krishna consciousness that day. So, we have our excuses for not hearing and living the Bhagavatam. Not only do we have to hear it, but we have to live it. We have to do what the spiritual master says to do. And then we will have great effect on the society. And we can change a lot of people's consciousness. It's describing here that some of the excuses that people have for not being interested in self-realization. Anyone who's out there preaching will come across these excuses every day. The first one, of course, is that religion's a scam. I don't want to waste my time on it. You have no proof that it's just a waste of time. I don't need self-realization. I'm this body, and whatever pleasure I can get, that's what I get. Another one is that, self-realization, right now I have a lot of very important issues later. The young people are worried about getting secure in the material world and getting their life together, and the old people are worried about their health, but later. I don't know when later is, but not right now. Two other many important things. And then there's people that say it's too difficult. Self-realization is very difficult. I just don't have the time, and you can't really become perfect. There's just no way us human beings could become perfect by just, by the mercy of the spiritual master. Now, I know God. He's a little distant, but that's good enough for me. It's too hard to become perfect. And then there's the people who say it's too easy. Self-realization, just getting the mercy of the spiritual master. No, it's by my endeavor, by my meditation, by my mantra, by my austerities that I will get self-realized. And then, in other words, I don't need to surrender. I'll just obtain it by my good works. And then there's the last one, of course, is that I'm already self-realized. I already know the absolute, the divine. It's in me. I know you and I are all divine. We're all, and it goes on and on. Do you think Krishna and the spiritual master are entertained by all these excuses? Not really. They're lame excuses. Just like when I was a teenager, you come in late from a date or from something going on in your life, and your parents are there waiting for you. And you've got all these excuses, right? Well, but the car, this and this and that and that. Just go to your room, right? So Krishna says, this excuse, that excuse, why you're not going to self-realize it, go. Go to another lifetime. Go ahead. You're out of here and back into another lifetime. So, no excuse. Especially since Lord Chaitanya has made it perfect. It's customized, particularly for us Kali Yuga inmates. You can't complain. It's not too easy. It's not too hard. It's great. Krishna consciousness is just great all around. So we see that it's effective too, all over the world. Travel around the world to the temples, you'll see that everyone's consciousness is really changing. It's becoming more fixed, and we are transcending this Kali Yuga. And hopefully we're having a strong influence on it. So the most important thing is that we fix this as a priority, surrendering to the spiritual master, that we can save ourselves from the boogeyman of Kali Yuga, and we don't have to have this horrible Halloween experience of coming back here again to the progressively worse Kali Yuga age. So we, in our lives, we can see our priorities, and we usually have like five or six, even on a daily basis, we have our priorities. And where is self-realization on our list? is it way up there on the top? The things that we do and all of our activities in life, is this on the very tippy top? So we should realize that we need to do that. We need to put it on the very first step. Sukadeva was describing yesterday about that it takes some sacrifice. It does. It means that I'm going to have to put down one of those other things a step lower so that I can move this up a grade. So that means we might have to not do something in the evening that keeps us from coming in the morning. So we have to really be conscious of how to arrange our life so that that we can follow these vows that we've taken for the spiritual master, please our spiritual master, so that he can guide us over this perilous ocean. And it would be very frightening to have to fall in again and to come back. Most frightening. So hopefully, just being as scared of that, we will take very seriously the orders of the spiritual master. And all of our acharyas, they have had self-realized souls, and they explain a lot of these different things, and they express them nicely in their prayers, in their songs. I just want to go over a couple of them and have it directly to do with what we're talking about. This is a nice one. I am swimming in the ocean of material suffering, and I do not know of any way to be lifted out. O Lord, please rescue me from the raging storm that is rapidly approaching with torrents of rain. When it reaches me, I do not know what will happen. Here's another one. I am plunged amidst the violent hurricane-stricken waves in the ocean of this material world, from which there is no escape. Kindly give me the gift of your divine lotus feet, which are compared to a boat, in which your servant may cross over the ocean of birth and death. That's Narottam Das Thakur. Another one. If you want to be rid of the menace of the dog-like personality of Kali, then just sing the glories of the beautiful son of Mother Sachi, Sachi Nandana. He is a savior of the Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga Pavana, and he is a destroyer of all fear caused by the age of quarrel, Kali Bhoya Nashana. How much longer must I continue to living in this condition? You are making me weep and cry out for you, O darling Giridhari Lal. If I cannot attain you this lifetime, then I shall give up and surrender myself unto death. And the last one is very, very nice. Even though I chant the holy name of Lord Gauranga, somehow I still have not melted in ecstasy. How then have I maintained the burden of this body? How has a creator fashioned this body with a stone in place of Vashugosha's heart? So these are some expressions of the devotee who is stricken by the pain, the ecstatic pain of missing out. Possibly missing out on this opportunity in human life to cross over this ocean. And they're lamenting that they don't have that full devotion. Of course they do, or else they couldn't express it like this. But it's very important that we merge ourselves in hearing and chanting. Even these Vaishnava songs are so very much inspiring. But hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord in whatever form, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, on a regular basis, and distributing it to others. When you go out there, it's like you're searching for just one person that you can see that might take the self-realization, that just might want to get out, that might want to escape having to be in this Kali Yuga. And it's ecstatic when you do, when you find just one little spark. So our endeavor should be to become Krishna conscious, and to get back all of our good qualities, and to try to affect some of these other persons that have fallen into this poisonous ocean. So those are some things that Prabhupada are encouraging us to do. Anyone have any comments or questions? Sukadev, did you raise your hand?
Thanks for a great class. I really appreciate that line you quoted from Mangalananda's song. It was actually written by Jamadagni. A lot of the songs they had were written by Jamadagni. I think the second line of that went, although we don't know where we're going, we're told that we should hurry. Right. And although we're made of molecules, those molecules still worry, you know? It's really brilliant, lyrics.
Really nice song. All those songs are great.
And I was going to ask you, with that, what you saw online about the, you know, eating the children, were there comments below it? Was it that kind of a thread?
It was in a public community gathering, and this lady, and I didn't say much. I'm sure there was lots of thoughts running through people's heads. But I don't know if anyone accepted the idea, but of course, it was there for a purpose, I'm sure. But we might be hearing more of that. It's frightening.
You probably heard that story about them in the 70s. There was this actor or activist, whatever, one of the shock society, Andy Warhol, and he had a party, and in that party they served aborted fetuses. Yes. And the devotees told that to Prabhupada, oh, shocking, what they do. Prabhupada said, they haven't found out yet that the best meat, the best taste in meat is human flesh. Prabhupada said that. I mean, he wasn't shocked, but he said that.
we need to hear positive things. That's why we need to go out there and say that the material world is down, but the spiritual world is up. There's so many wonderful things in the spiritual world. And it's all just through the holy name. Just hearing the holy name, we can taste a much better taste. A taste that we're dying to have, and that's that loving relationship with these beautiful deities. Anybody else?
I just think it would be nice if you can chant a couple lines of some questions to hear by our show.
You could start.
Okay. Just chant one of the ones that you...
All right, let's see. I don't know how to sing that one. Okay. Doyo nitai chaitanya bo nache rama ma. Nache rama ma. Nache rama ma. Doyo nitai chaitanya bo nache rama ma. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for introducing us to Lord Chaitanya and to this wonderful process, simple, wonderful process of chanting the holy names. Jai. Prabhupada ki jai.